This is a Defocus Media production.
Hey everyone, this is just Deep Sync Sony, JD, Opto Turbine, here for another podcast. So I want to introduce you to my guests. And Sarah, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Sarah. I'm a second year student at Arizona College of Optometry.
Perfect, perfect. So today we're going to talk about animals. And I know you have some ideas about animals and how we can use it in healthcare, or you know, how animals have kind of affected you in your whole life. And I think that's a great topic. Animals are all around us. And I think it's so interesting to see how you're going to try to utilize that in your career. But before we talk about that, I just want to get to know you a little better. Can you tell me where you're from, why you chose optometry, and what are your goals?
Yeah, I'm from Central Florida, like right around Disney area. And growing up, I was always that kid in elementary school that always had glasses. And so I had a lot of optometry visits. And I used to joke around with my optometrist that I was just going to come work for him one day. And he always told me, you know, I think that's a great idea. You should definitely do that. And of course, I didn't listen. And I went to undergrad at University of Florida and got my business degree and worked in corporate insurance for 5 years. And realized that this is not what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, for sure. And it just happened that year I had an eye appointment with my doctor. And, you know, he was just asking how it's going. And I had told him I had come to this revelation that I didn't want to be here or where I was at the time. And he was like, well, you always told me you were going to come work for me. Why don't you go to optometry school? And I kind of laughed it off in the moment, and I was like, what am I going to do with when I go through optometry school? Like, what am I going to do when I get out? And he was like, I'll have a job waiting for you. Like, go to optometry school. And so I was like, what do I have to lose? So I started going to school full time, and I was going to work full time for a year and a half, and got lucky enough on my first round of applications to get in. Now I'm here.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome that you had a complete flip. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But that's cool. How's the experience gone for you so far?
It's been amazing. I've always just told myself, like, if at any point you're really unhappy, you can always stop. Like, that's always an option. And I've never had a moment where I was like, this is it. Like, I've always had challenges in school. I've had a bunch of challenges in school so far. And I've always wanted to overcome them. I've never felt defeated by them, which is exciting. Like, just to continue wanting to learn is always an exciting, like, asset, I feel like, of a school.
Right.
And they've definitely pushed me, so.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that. Tell me about animals. So, since we're talking about animals today, do you have any animals? What is your experience with animals? Like, how much do you love animals? Tell me about you and animals.
So much. No, I have, here in Arizona with me, I have two dogs. I have my
two dogs in optometry school?
Yeah. Oh, it's better than having two kids. I have my one dog, Mo, who's a certified therapy dog. I've had him, I adopted him in 2013. So I've had him for 7 years now, or going on 7 years. And then I last year decided that optometry school wasn't hard enough. And, I forgot to say, Mo's a boxer mix. And then I decided that optometry school wasn't hard enough. And so in March of last year, I decided to adopt a second dog. Her name is Millie, and she is a Mexican hairless dog. And so I first fostered her. I actually didn't adopt her. And, fell in love. And so now I have two. And then back home I have two cats and they are staying at home. I figured they didn't want to be out in the desert for a couple years.
That's fair.
They didn't want to make the drive. So they stayed out or back in Florida.
You said that having animals or dogs is easier than kids, but they sound like they are your kids.
They are. They get a lot of attention and all of my money goes to them.
So why have two dogs and while in optometry school, like, what value do they bring you?
They are the ever constant presence of positivity. I've never gotten home after even a long day, leaving them, you know, alone for 10 hours, 12 hours. I've never gotten home and had them be mad. If I have a bad day, they don't know the difference. I can walk in upset and they're still going to be so happy to see me. I can walk in late for dinner and they're still going to be so happy to see me. And it's just an ever-present positivity factor in my life. And that's really where my why I adopted Mo was when I just graduated from UF, and I was kind of in this transitional moment, and I didn't know where I was going, and it was before I'd gotten my job, and I just had a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress, and I needed some outlet for that, and Mo was a saving grace in that moment, and he has been the best gift, the most calming, reassuring, and loving, I hate to say it, but partner in my life, because he's always been there.
Wow. So. I love that. It sounds like you can, like, qualitatively say, like, my life is happier and less stressful because of Mo and Millie now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's so great to hear, and I think that's something that should be those feelings. We need to show those feelings of love and happiness in other places in our life, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so, like, and that's where, like, you know, I had a dog. Mm-hmm. She passed away in December, and, mm-hmm. like, even coming home from school or just coming home from, work when I used to work and live until in California, it was just good to have that unconditional love and Simon energy where you forget to think about everything else, but you have that love there, right? And,
exactly.
And like you said, that partnership, and that's such a beautiful thing. And that's where, you know, when you told me you want to kind of integrate that into your career and your life, I was like, that is so cool. And that's kind of where I want to hear more
mm-hmm.
about. So how do you want to integrate animals with your future?
Yeah. So, like I said, Mo's a therapy dog, and he, has spent a lot of time interacting with patients in different capacities.
Can you tell me more about the therapy dog, just in case anybody doesn't know what a therapy dog
is? Yeah. So a therapy dog, or a therapy animal really, is any, animal that's trained to, support people, whether it be a mental condition or physical condition, through a indirect means of improvement. So, therapy animals are brought into hospitals for, you know, patients who are sick currently. They're brought into, physical therapists for patients who are trying to recover. They're brought into, nursing homes for, the benefit of the patients, just having some positive interaction, something that brightens their day, even, you know. There's not much you can do about a patient who's in a nursing home. Unfortunately, it's their reality, but you can brighten their day a little bit. And so they fill all those roles, whether it be actively helping improve a patient or just helping with their mental status.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's done a lot of that. He's gone to hospitals, and we spent a lot of time at nursing homes because we did have my grandparents who were getting older. And so we were able to just be there as a positive, you know, part of their experience. And so with that, I was thinking about how that could be brought into, because they are a part of physical therapy and they are a part of occupational therapy. And I was wondering how that could become a part of vision therapy. And specifically for my experience, when I first got into optometry school, I wasn't overly expecting it because I had kind of thrown together this plan. And I was in the middle of working and going to school, and I was really busy. And when I got that phone call that I had been accepted to my first college, I called. I listened to this radio show back home, and it they do What's Good Wednesdays. And so I called in on What's Good Wednesday just to see if they would answer. Like, I feel like, you know, anytime you're calling a radio show, you never know if they're actually going to answer. But I talked to him and I said, you know, hey, I heard I got into optometry school today, and I've been working for this for a year and a half, and I'm so excited. And I ended up getting on air, and I said, hey, I just got into optometry school. And one of the radio hosts was like, oh, I hate the optometrist. That's terrifying. I don't want to go there. Like, they puff air into my eye. They make it so I can't see. Like, I hate that place.
Wow.
And I feel like that's the first time I've ever gotten that reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, most people like to go because they can see better at the end. They get these nice glasses that look all nice. You know, like, they get their newest styles. They get their contacts so they don't have to wear their glasses.
Right.
Like, I didn't expect that response.
Uh-huh.
And so between the two, I was like, well, why can't Mo make everybody else's experience as positive as mine have been? And so that's really where the idea was bred from, was that interaction. And I really think that not just related to vision therapy, but in just general, an optometric practice, I think we've seen in many practices, they do have animals that come in, not necessarily therapy animals, but, you know, the owners or the optometrist dog, they'll bring them in. And people like that. They think it gives it a more homey experience. And
so you're basically saying it's like doing internal marketing, whereas like, let's say someone has this opinion, like that person on the radio, where they have fear or anxiety or a negative reaction towards optometry, but then you bring in something positive and loving, like an animal like Mo. And so you kind of do that to change their opinion of the experience they're having, right? That's kind of what you're trying to say. We should integrate how you want to integrate it.
Exactly. And that's what I see with optometry in the future, because I do want to open my own practice. But I don't want it to be single-handedly a vision therapy practice. I want it to be a general care practice with vision therapy. And these therapy animals would be involved in all parts of the practice. If someone came and wanted the assistance at their appointment or just wanted the presence of an animal at their appointment and they're just getting their eyes checked up for their, you know, yearly exam, they could absolutely have the dog there or the cat or whatever therapy animal we had sponsored that day. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So you'd want to have an animal as an option for every exam room or in the lobby or, or like you said, when you're there doing vision therapy, right?
Exactly.
I love that you could do that for vision therapy, especially with vision therapy, they have a lot of children, right? And children, maybe they're not as excited about doing the vision therapy, you know, homework assignments or assignments in general. And maybe they're not as confident because, like I've talked about previously, I think in my last podcast or what we've learned in school is that some of these kids aren't as confident because they're not, maybe because they have like an eye turn, they're not having as many friends and they're not as confident. And so like having this sort of positive reaction, you know, might encourage them to do their homework or come back to the optometrist or have positive feelings, right?
Exactly.
And not just with vision therapy, but primary care, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like that can really bring a new level of an experience. It just brings up the experience to a new level for them to no longer even be afraid of the eye doctors, but enjoy. You know, a lot of people are like, well, I don't notice a difference in my eyes. I'm not going to go in this year. And obviously, I mean, we know that we don't want that to happen because it's not just about what you can see right now, but it's about what your sight's going to be like in the future and what your health is like that you may not have an indicator on yet. And so we want them to come in so we can check out their overall health. And having that positive experience can really be a driving force of, well, you know, I don't really want to go, but hey, they're going to have the dog there. They're going to have the therapy horse there, you know, whatever the case is for the day.
Interesting. What else animals do you think you could use?
My favorite is the mini horse, because there are quite a few registered therapy mini horses.
How big are mini horses? Like, can you ride them or something?
Can you? No.
Okay. That's fair.
No, normally they say not to. But, I mean, they're pretty good size, probably about the size of a Great Dane.
Okay.
But they, you know, they're normally brought into, I mean, if you look up therapy horse, you can probably see just a bunch of them. My favorite, there's one that's, like, dressed up as a fairy that goes into a hospital, into the, children's unit, the peds unit. It's so cute. And so yeah, that's what I would want to do is basically contract out therapy animals, so people who own therapy animals and have them come in on various days, so that way you know, like, if you want to come in on this day, you'll meet this animal.
What about allergies, like people people who just are afraid of animals, don't like animals?
Yeah, that's always a concern, because obviously my practice will not be designed for them to be at their most comfortable here.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a thought that's crossed my mind on, do I want to try to have a hypoallergenic day where we would, you know, use hypoallergenic animals, either hairless animals or, you know, poodles, things like that, or animals like that. But it's not something I've quite worked out yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely a consideration, and I do want to be inclusive. I don't want to, you know, completely bar anyone from coming into the into my practice because of allergies or because of fears, you know. Because
your foundation here is I want to create a more open environment. Yeah. And at the same time, you know, with some people who have those, you know, concerns medically, you don't want to close that door for them. So I guess finding some sort of solution, but that's where you have time to start thinking. So it's great that you already are thinking about that. And like, it's so cool to see. I mean, I think animals have had big impacts on both of our lives. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool that you want to integrate that in real life. And I think there's some promise there. And I think that hopefully, you know, I'd love to see that. I definitely would be a patient for years. Yeah, yeah.
Me too. I'd be there every day.
Right? Yeah. I mean, even in school, I remember in undergraduates, so my undergraduate program, UC Irvine, mm-hmm. they used to bring dogs on campus for positivity, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the same type of feel that you just want to create for everybody, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, UF used to do the same thing around, like, finals week. Mm-hmm. They used to have a puppy play date where you could go in and they would bring in puppies that you could just, you know, go over to this one little area and go play with a puppy. And it's the same thing. Like, you know, just it's a way to forget about whatever stress you have and just focus on, in the moment, being happy. And why not do that while you're at a doctor's office?
So true. If someone wanted to work with animals or kind of start dipping into this idea, maybe trying to create positivity, love themselves in their practice, what would you suggest to them? Like, how do you think they should start? Maybe have like a dog and a cat, or I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely something that you don't want to rush into, obviously, because there is always a component coming from an insurance background. Mm-hmm. There always is a bit of a, you know, opening for problems. So you want to make sure that you're covered in case something bad does happen. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend to everyone just to bring in any animal that you have, just because you don't want to open yourself up to an insurance risk. But, you know, talking to your insurer is definitely something that can save you in that case. And I would definitely say it's not becoming a rare thing. It's not. I've talked to many doctors over the course of the last year, especially at optometry's meeting in St. Louis this last year, where I made a lot of good connections talking about puptometry. And they had talked to me about how they bring in their dog, but they don't actually let them have patient interactions. They'll let them sit behind the desk, and patients love that even still. So that's a way to keep, you know, make sure that you're not going to be legally liable for anything, but still give patients a chance to have a slightly more interaction that's positive. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've talked to them about. And it's a way that they can bring in animals to the office. I would definitely be a little bit more careful than, you know, I don't know if you've been to a vet's office where they have a pet, and it's more often than not a cat, which I think is great, because cats are generally, if they don't want to be around you, they won't be around you. And so that's another positive option that they have. But I've heard a lot of doctors bring their pets to the office with them. And I think there's actually a couple articles on Review of Optometry about it, which is interesting. So if you have, you know, more interest in that rather than bringing it directly into patient interaction, but maybe just for staff, you know, morale and staff, you know, overall, you know, engagement and improvement, that could be an option for you as well.
Yeah. And even outside of optometry, just mm-hmm. for your own family, getting an animal made, like as you said, yeah. you know, your stressful situation in optometry school, that's something that benefits you, but we all have our own stresses in our own lives. And if you feel like, you know, having an animal could help with some of that stress, and it can help you by pushing you to maybe exercise more, walking your dog every day. So mentally, physically, like there's so many benefits from having a dog, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's so many animals right now that are in shelters everywhere that it's just amazing to give an opportunity not only for yourself to be healthier and to be happier and, you know, to have an extra reason to maybe not overwork yourself, because right now it's so important to find that work-life balance. And that's something that I think I struggled with early on too. But having a reason to be more aware of taking care of yourself, I think that's a huge benefit, on top of just giving these animals, you know, a loving home where they can, you know, be relaxed as well, and they don't have to be stressed out or scared, cold or hungry, you know. That's another huge benefit.
Perfect. Well, if we just have to give any summary, just kind of like what we're saying, animals have so many benefits for mental, physical health. We both believe that there's something that can benefit families, practices, and something that could be used in healthcare, including eye care, right? Mm-hmm. And I love that you want to use that in a private practice setting, in a vision therapy setting, and there's so much benefit to just your concept is we need to show more happiness and love for patients and make them feel valued, and that's what you're trying to do. That's your basis, and you're using that through animals, which is a great way to do it. So I love that you discussed that with me. So thank you for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So if you want to learn more about Pup Optometry, so I'll post some information on the website, but you can also follow Pup Optometry on Instagram. And mm-hmm. if there's any way to contact you, I'll put your email if that's great absolutely. For you. So, yeah. But yeah, thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it. And I hope you guys enjoyed. Take care.